I Do Podcast, episode 42.
Welcome to idopodcast.com, where fun and inspiring relationship experts, therapists, and couples share tips and advice that will help lead you to a fulfilling and happy relationship. Let their guidance illuminate your path to happiness. Are you ready to create lasting love? And now, your hosts, Chase and Sarah.
Do you have a topic that you'd like to hear more about, or a relationship question you'd like answered? Email us at info@idopodcast.com and we'll be sure to add it to one of our upcoming episodes. We're excited to introduce our guest today, Edward Caligros. Did I get it somewhere right?
It's Caligros.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We're so excited to have you on.
Hey, Edward.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thank you so much for having me here.
Edward Caligros is a licensed associate marriage and family therapist. Edward is a graduate of the Arizona State University Marriage and Family Therapy Program. He is an adjunct instructor at Mesa Community College and a clinical supervisor at an agency for mandated clients and families. Edward specializes in high-conflict couples and families who are questioning divorce or uncertainty regarding their relationship. He lives in Arizona with his wife and three kids.
We've given our listeners just a little overview, so take a minute, tell us about yourself and why you enjoy helping people improve their relationships.
Sure. I began my journey into marriage and family therapy really just searching to find a purpose in helping others. And I thought about law enforcement, I thought about firefighting, I thought about nursing, doing anything that would help out others. And as I began to study COM 100, I think it was COM 101, I began to have a real interest in how people related to each other. And then I started realizing how important communication and relationships were, not just in the workplace, not just in those types of areas, but really a lot in the relationship piece for future generations and society. So that really sparked my interest. And as I continue to take more communication classes, I realized, okay, I want to do something with this. I searched around and I found a marriage and family therapy program at Arizona State University and fell in love with it. It's an amazing program and it's an amazing work working with couples and families.
That's really interesting. You're getting ready to trying to help people. You want firefighter, policeman. Mm-hmm. I think that's so honorable. And then you ended up in therapy. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's definitely different. Some of my family are really into law enforcement, and so that's where the bug kind of started. And then I went a different route.
Oh, cool. So you guys are all helping out.
Yep, we are.
Well, I think we're going to help our listeners here today with a topic that pretty much any relationship is going to go through, whether you're married or dating, and it's conflict in a relationship. And we're just going to dive right in. We've all been there. We have an argument. And so I'm going to ask you, is conflict a bad thing?
Right. Yeah. Conflict is definitely not a bad thing. That's actually one of the axioms that we teach, and something I teach in the psychoeducation piece of marriage and family therapy when I'm working with a couple, is that conflict is inevitable. Conflict will happen, and conflict can be a real source of growth for the couple or the relationship.
Is there a time when conflict might be getting in the way and that there's just too much? Like, how do you know if what's healthy conflict and what's really shouldn't be happening?
Right. So healthy conflict brings people together to solve a problem. That's healthy conflict. Bad conflict does not bring people together, but just keeps pushing them apart. So if you're having a conflict and you're both coming together and saying, how do we figure this out? That's a good conflict. If you're having a conflict and you're saying, you're wrong, I'm right, you're a jerk, you're stupid, those types of things. Like conflict is no bueno at that point.
Okay.
In your article, there are three different types of relationships and really three different types of conflicts that people can, I guess you can say, relate to, but how they deal with conflict. Do you mind going over maybe each of those conflicts? And I can start off with the first relationship type of conflict where people bury their conflicts and don't talk about it. Do you mind giving us a little bit more information and some information that our listeners may be able to relate to?
Sure, absolutely. So that actually came from a thought another colleague of mine shared regarding conflict. She shared that she was at she went on a date with her husband, and they were both therapists. They are both therapists, and they went out to dinner, and they met up with another couple, and they sat down. And the other couple asked them, they said, you know, you guys are therapists. You guys must never have a problem at all. Everything should be great. And they said, actually, we got into a discussion, you know, on the way here. And so the other couple was, you know, astonished and said, oh, my gosh, we never fight, you know, all these things. Well, a week later, my friend received a phone call from the other friend saying, we're getting divorced.
Oh, wow.
So... It kind of, there's a lot of variables to that story, but what we took from it was the fact that if people aren't, you can go through life saying we don't have conflict, and that simply may be that you are not communicating, that you're not talking about things, that you're keeping things buried in. And so a lot of times people bury their conflict, and there can be a variety of reasons for that. One is that they don't feel safe in the relationship. And so if they don't feel safe in a relationship, they're not going to share that something bothers them. And eventually, that can become something that really eats away at them, and they start feeling bitter and angry towards their spouse or their partner. And that leads to, you know, higher levels of conflict in the relationship. That's the burying part. People bury it, pretend like it's not there, due to usually not feeling safe in the relationship or not knowing how to express themselves, not knowing how to share what they want, what they're needing.
And can you give our listeners an example of a couple that may be bearing their conflict, a important step they can do to try to address it?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you have, for example, this example came up recently. You have a wife whose husband is the main provider, for example, and he's working. He gets home various times. They're not really clear on his schedule because of the nature of his work. And so you have a wife who is constantly dealing with the children, putting them down, not knowing when her husband's going to get home. And this is something that, for her, is anxiety-provoking. It's doesn't make her feel, it makes her feel alone. And so she could just continue to just bury that feeling. And when he comes home, you know, say hi and, you know, kind of ignore him in the way. And he would just figure that she's tired and probably just, you know, go about his routine for that night. And so on and on that goes until she says enough's enough. Maybe he comes home and the kids aren't there and she's not there anymore. Or in other cases, there's an infidelity that occurs or something else occurs. So that's an example of how burying it, something could lead to something pretty extreme in a relationship, where all that really needed to happen was for her to feel safe enough to say to him, you know what? I'm having a problem with this. You know, I'm feeling kind of second class. I'm feeling hurt. I'm feeling alone. I feel overwhelmed. And a lot of that has to do with how he's going to react to that and what he's going to say. And obviously, I work really hard with the couples to help them kind of connect that emotional level, connect to the primary emotions that both are feeling at that time. because there's another side to that, right? He's working really hard. He's trying to provide for his family. She may say this. That may make him feel like maybe she's taking him for granted. She doesn't understand what he's going through, but it's not that. It's the fact that right now his wife is needing him. Right now his wife is feeling alone, and he needs to be there for her. So a lot of it has to do with the couple really seeking to really understand each other and sacrificing. And that's one thing that I talk to a lot of couples about, is that love is sacrifice. Sacrifice is love. You know, in Christianity, there's the symbol of love is, you know, Jesus Christ, and how he sacrificed himself for us. Well, the sacrifice done wouldn't be worth anything if it was easy. And of course, according to Christianity, the sacrifice that Christ did was a monumental sacrifice, sacrificing yourself because due to the fact that you didn't do anything. You didn't do anything wrong, but yet you're sacrificing yourself for others. And so in the same thing in a relationship, sometimes you're going to have to sacrifice yourself a little bit for love, because you love the person. And so that's my quick try, my example of trying to be quick with the answer.
No, yeah, no, it was great. And so if you feel like you're bearing the conflict in a relationship, make a sacrifice, bring it to the forefront, and don't continue to bury it, because it's just going to blow up. And whether it's an affair or ends up in a divorce or just constant arguing. So keep those communication lines open and address the conflict, which leads us into our next type of relationship with conflict, is where the conflict is actually burying the couple. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is the couple that really, they have given up. They've given up hope, and they have turned to utilizing strategies of, for example, criticism and blame. They're using aggressive tactics. Pretty much anger and conflict has taken over the relationship. It's no longer them anymore. It's just pride. It's anger. It's this viscousness of just hatred towards each other. And conflict overwhelms them to the point where they feel that there's no way to turn back, that there is no way to get back to where they were. And so conflict buries them. And it's really a sad thing to see that happen, because as we do timelines and talk to couples regarding what their life was like before, you can see how there was so much love, there's so much seeking understanding, but something happened that just completely made conflict overcome them. So that's usually what happens in that situation.
Now, do you have any advice for those couples? Anything to help them overcome that issue?
Absolutely. So couples that are in that type of situation, one of the biggest things that they need to do is one of them needs to want to stop it, and that's tough. But one of them needs to make the decision that their relationship, that their marriage is worth working on it, and once again, creating a safe place so that they can communicate and dialogue about some of the hurts that are going on. Usually in these high conflict situations where conflict is burying the couple, there's a lot of anger. And one of the important things for couples to understand is what is anger in that type of situation. And I remember it was Halloween, I asked my son, I said, we talk a lot about anger and different types of things in my home. And I said to him, you know, so describe to me what's anger. And he's 4, and he says, anger is a costume. and he fell asleep after that. But I thought that was so important, because it is. Anger is a costume. And one thing that I really want couples to understand is that when their spouse is angry, when they're angry, anger is just a custom. That's not really what is going on. What's really going on is underneath the costume. It's the pain. It's the hurt. Those things are the things that are happening. So whenever you see yourself angry, or you see your little brother or your son angry, and they're throwing down their book bag or whatever it is, stop and think for a moment and understand that there's something else behind that. It's not that. And if you make the mistake of going after the anger, all that's going to happen is going to continue to escalate and escalate and escalate. So we have to become more aware of what really is fueling the conflict, fueling the anger in that situation. And once you can be aware of that, then you can focus in on that need. So someone that is angry, for example, in the previous example I gave regarding the wife, correct? Mm-hmm. The wife, she might be angry at her husband, but really what's going on there is that she's feeling alone. She's feeling overwhelmed. Okay. Well, the husband goes to anger, that's just going to get her even more upset. But if he goes to, you know what, I'm sorry you feel alone, or if he goes in and attempts to maybe comfort her or to help her feel that she's not alone, then that might be something rather than just attacking.
That's great advice for our listeners and for us. And it seems like maybe a good exercise to do is, if you start to feel angry, is take a deep breath, try not to react immediately, and try to come from a place of understanding of why you're feeling angry and what the underlying issues might be, and then try to communicate that.
Right. And I guess the basic formula, for example, because sometimes when you're in that type of conflict situation, there's a lot of emotions running through you, obviously, and adrenaline and all those things. And that's why it's so important to have sort of like a plan or a formula. And so the formula that I give my couples when they're first starting out with me is, I say to them, you're going to want to define the problem, what's going on, and how it impacts you. And this is really basic. This is basic stuff. Define a problem, define what's going on for you, and then how you feel like that is going to be impacting the relationship. And then be solution focused at that point. Provide a solution. Provide an idea. And then check in. Genuinely really check in and say, you know, how do you feel about that? What are your thoughts regarding that? And there you go from having a conflict, an argument, to a discussion or a conversation regarding what's going on in the relationship. So, Chase, you're absolutely right. Slowing down is the key. In fact, my therapist friends probably are going to get upset when I say that, but that's the majority of what we do as therapists, is we just slow them down. I mean, that's the key part with high conflict couples.
Well, I really love that analogy, and we've heard it, you know, a couple times, that checking in is so important to relationship, that checking in once a week or even once a day to see where you both are in your relationship and make sure you're both connected at the same level is so important for a successful relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, checking in is a huge part of the relationship. And, you know, checking in isn't just, you know, hey, how are you doing today? How are you feeling regarding the relationship? It's in the greeting, and it's really in the greeting. For example, if I say to you, you know, how was your day? I'm really curious about how your day was. Why? Because your day transforms you. What happened to you throughout the day today has meaning to you in some way. We all grow every day, whether it's spiritually, emotionally, physically. We're all growing and learning. And so to really show sincere interest, so the phrase, how are you today, takes on a whole new meaning, you know? How was your day today? You know, what were you up to today? All those things really have a more deeper meaning. Really what you're asking the person is, how have you changed today? Because it's really important, because as you grow together, environmental, social, all these different elements impact who you are, and you evolve. And so the same person you marry today will not be the same person you're with at the end. They will have developed and evolved. And if you have a sort of a static belief of somebody, then their rigidity comes in, and then you have, you know, layers and layers upon conflict because you're not growing with that person. You're not understanding their development.
I love that example that you gave of why it's important to check in, because we think of it for, we're talking about conflict resolving, but even if everything is good, it's just interesting that you bring that up, is that we are constantly changing. And by checking in, it's sort of taking a reading of the new things that are expanding in your life. And maybe you have a new way of thinking based on an event that happened to you that day, and you want to share that with your partner so you guys can grow together.
Yeah, that's 100% true, Chase. Who you are today to your fiance is different than who you will be 30 years from now.
Absolutely.
Point of your check-in.
Hopefully only better 30 years from now.
That's right. And especially if you guys are, you know, doing all these wonderful things you guys are doing together. So I'm really proud of you guys.
Awesome. Well, thank you.
Thanks.
So the last relationship, type of relationship you mentioned is the couple where conflict is dealt with appropriately. So that's obviously the ideal way of dealing with communication and conflict. So I know you've given us a little examples of how to do that. So just another brief example, or just an overview of how communication would be dealt with appropriately between a couple.
Yeah, I think that to really deal with conflict, you have to, number one, not run away from it. So many couples are so scared of actually going there. They think that it's going to ruin everything. And it doesn't have to. John, are you guys familiar with John Gottman?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So he teaches the Four Horsemen. You guys are familiar with the Four Horsemen, correct?
I am not, no.
Okay, so the Four Horsemen, what that is that these four things destroy relationships. These are the four things, these are the four culprits that will destroy it. And that is blame, criticism, stonewalling, and contempt. And those are the things that you need to be careful with, and those are the things that you need to be aware of when you're going to be that third relationship, that third couple that really is going to deal with the conflict. Because A, you don't want to stonewall, which means that you don't want to disconfirm someone, or if they're talking to you about a conflict, walking away from them, that's not cool, and that's not going to help the relationship. You know, take for instance the example I gave of the wife waiting for her husband. If she says, you know, I need to talk to you about something, and he just walks away and goes into his room or goes into his office, that's disconfirming her. That's devaluing her voice. A benign example of that would be him sitting there listening to her and then talking about the sports, you know, just kind of changing the subject. That's an example of stonewalling. So a couple really engaged, really focused on, you know, really working on it, is not going to be stonewalling. The next thing is the blaming. You know, it's your fault this is happening. It's your fault that I have to work late hours. It's your fault that I'm alone with the kids. It's your fault, that kind of thing. Pointing the finger at each other, that doesn't happen in a relationship where, once again, the conflict is being dealt with and worked on. Criticism, criticizing your personality traits, your physical appearance, criticizing you is something that destroys relationships as well. And then contempt, it's a difficult word to define because there's a lot of emotion and feeling behind it, but contempt is that emotion and feeling of just viscous anger towards somebody, this disdain towards somebody, and a lot of times it's found in relationships with a lot of sarcasm in these things. And so the relationship or the coupleship that is working on the conflict, that's basically going to take conflict and put it down, they're going to avoid those four things. When one of them engages in those things, they're going to recognize it, they're going to call it out in a loving way, and they're going to say, we need to stop, right? The person doing it, so if all of a sudden a sarcasm slips out of me, I'm going to rubber band it, which means I'm going to go ahead and say, you know what, I said that, and that's totally wrong with me to say that. You know, they're not going to say, well, I didn't mean that. No, they meant what they said. They right. know what they said. You know, don't try to go ahead and backtrack there. What you do is you own up to it and you say, you know what, that's wrong and I shouldn't do that. Let's go back to working on it.
Yeah, it's great information. And I want to just go over the four horsemen one more time for our listeners. We have blame, criticism, stonewalling, and contempt. So really trying to recognize that and then following the steps that you've outlined is such a valuable tool to apply to your relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those four things. I mean, if you can manage those things in a conflict, that's great. I mean, write them up on a board. If you're going to deal with something, write them up on the board and say, we're not going to do those things. And you know what, Chase? Do some relationships have those? I mean, I think I might have been sarcastic to my wife this last weekend regarding something. But the important thing is that we rubber band it. We say, you know what? We own up to it. We say, that was wrong with me. No relationship is perfect. And those four things are going to be seen a little bit in some relationships. It's just important for us to own up to it, be accountable to it, and make those changes.
Absolutely.
Well, great. Thank you for that advice. Very helpful and very relatable for us and for our listeners. So thank you. Mm-hmm. What do you find is the most common reason couples struggle in their relationship?
You know, I think that there's, a number of things of reasons why couples struggle in a relationship. I would say one of them is rushing in. You know, relationship is definitely a process, not a race. And Hollywood has this facade of they're actually creating some of this, right? You meet somebody, oh my gosh, you know, and then you get married, or you don't get married, and you know, you're already living with them, or those types of things. And the question is, you know, how is that formula working out for most Hollywood celebrities? Not too well. So rushing into things, I think, is something that a lot of couples need to kind of take a step back and not rush into relationships if they're not aware of certain things. And unmet needs, for sure. Like, if there's something that you're needing and you're not asking for those things, and you have this passive voice and you're not being heard, I mean, that definitely leads to struggle. The inability for someone to be vulnerable in a relationship, that leads to struggle. You know, not being able to share some of your hurt. Pride is a huge one when it comes down to the struggles. And these things that I'm sharing with you guys just comes from the couples that I work with, that I see. Those are the big ones that cause a lot of struggle in relationships.
Excellent. Well, thank you for that insight, and it's important to recognize these things as they come up and try to address them. Well, now we are going into the his and her round, where Sarah and I each ask a question that's on our minds. Sarah's up first.
Okay, my question has to do with one of the four horsemen, which would be stonewalling. And you said an example of somebody or of a couple arguing and one person just walking away. Can that be related to a couple that have two different communication styles. We've gone over with a couple experts having a hot and cold where one person likes to talk about it right away and the other person likes to wait. Is there a good way where somebody can communicate that they have different communication styles without making it feel like the other person's being stonewalled?
Yeah, absolutely. Most experts will go ahead and say that there's a difference between stonewalling and a timeout. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they get those things mixed up a little bit. Timeout is completely different than a stonewalling. So when we time out, what we're saying is, I want to talk about this. You're important to me. This relationship is important to me. This topic is important to me. But right now, I'm at a point where I don't think I can think straight, or I feel like I'm not really going to be understanding some of this. So could we check back in an hour? You know, I'm going to go to the gym. I'll be back, and then we can talk about this again. And so this is the type of conversation that if you're having a timeout, you're not stonewalling, you're taking a timeout when you're doing that. It requires trust in the relationship, right? Because if I say to you, I'm going to go to the gym, I'm going to come back, if you don't trust me, you're going to block the door. So that's something to be in mindful of, is that you guys are going to make a committed decision that if one of you feel that something is not right and you don't want to have a conversation about it at that moment, that you're going to take a little bit of time, but that you're going to come back.
Great. Well, thank you for that. That makes it very clear. And I know our listeners will be able to use that advice.
Mm-hmm. My question is regarding conflict, and at what point does a couple realize that or take action as far as going to therapy or doing something else when everything that we've talked about doesn't seem to be working, where they try to address the four horsemen, communicate better, but it's not working? At what point do they try to seek something else like therapy, couples counseling?
Gosh, that's a good question. I would say, obviously, the minute you feel something is impacting both of you and you start having those moments of silence in the home, in the relationship, I would say that would be a very, very huge indicator of something going on, and that you may need somebody else to intervene and help out. I'm a proponent of seeking out therapy, even in a healthy relationship. I mean, I have a couple of couples that come in and say, you know what, we're doing well, we're happy, but I just want to see if we can come in, you know, every 3 months. Or every 6 months, just to check in and do that stuff. And it's not a problem. But I would say silence in the relationship is really an issue. I think that when you start small bickering discussions, like when you have discussions about big topics, you know, that's pretty usual. You're going to have discussions on that. But when you start having smaller, these little battles along the way, that's definitely a sign that something is not right. There's some type of pain or hurt underneath it, and someone's not being honest and open about it.
Excellent. Well, thank you for that advice. Well, now it's time for our favorite part of the interview, the lasting love round.
We'll ask you a series of questions, and you'll respond with great information to help set the foundation for a lasting relationship.
We love it. Our listeners love it. So, Ed, are you ready to help us build lasting love?
Absolutely.
Great. What's one thing couples can do on a daily basis to help improve their relationship?
I think that some things that they can do are really explore their values and beliefs. Explore family of origin stories, and decide on rituals that they're going to commit to for themselves and for each other. Those are some things that I think couples could do.
Is there a book or resource you can recommend for couples?
I would recommend Hold Me Tight. I'm sure you guys have been recommended that film, that book before, by Dr. Sue Johnson. But that's a really good book about getting couples, especially in high conflict, to slow down.
Awesome. Well, that book it's definitely on one of our read lists. So we'll have that book listed on your show notes page at I Do Podcast, and our listeners know to go there to find that awesome resource. Mm-hmm. We're getting married this year. Is there any advice you would give engaged couples or newlyweds?
I would say the same thing that I kind of started off saying, which is love is sacrifice and sacrifice is love. If it's easy to do, you gotta change it up. And the example I would give with that is that if it's easy for me to go buy a rose for my wife, but it's hard for me to go ahead and wash the dishes, that's going to mean a lot
that's
more.
Good.
If you could give just one single piece of advice for a successful relationship, what would it be?
I would say having meetings together prior to the start of the week is something that I would give it advice to anybody in a relationship, is to get together before the week begins and really come together and support each other for what's ahead.
Well, that's awesome advice. We love it. And thank you so much. We've really enjoyed hearing all the advice you've given us and our listeners today. So let's finish by having you tell our listeners where they can find you, and then we'll say goodbye.
Sure. So I'm located in Scottsdale, Arizona, at 8737 East Via de Comercio, in Scottsdale, Arizona, like I said. My phone number is 480-203-7165. And that's about it. It was a pleasure being here and talking with you guys.
Well, our listeners can find all the information and links of today's episode on idopodcast.com. Go to the podcast tab and you'll be in the archives.
And thank you so much for all your generous knowledge and for taking the time to come on our show today.
Thank you for your time and all the great things you guys are doing.
Are you interested in learning 5 ways to improve your relationship on a daily basis? How about 5 tips for engaged couples or newlyweds? This information and more is our free gift to you when you go to idopodcast.com and subscribe to our mailing list. Thank you so much for joining us today on I Do Podcast.
Head on over to idopodcast.com for full recaps of every show, relationship resources, tips, and advice.
Your path to a successful and lasting relationship awaits you. Are you ready to create lasting love?